Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings. Thought I'd join you today. A little choral reading.
And
Welcome aboard the
WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show.
On the mark. I'm Mark Lawrence.
On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com.
Our toll-free hotline number, yes.
That's, I think you have your own copy.
It's 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by Shade Mountain Pharmacy, and they are in
Mount Pleasant Mills.
Very good. The Norrie Pharmacy, the Danville Pharmacy, the Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in
Mifflinburg.
Right. Or email us at onthemark@wkok.com. And to tell you how to text us, here's Mark Lawrence.
Well, the Text Connect is simpler than all the above.
To you, perhaps.
Yeah. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one at 70236. If you're not a Text Connect member, you can sign up at WKOK.com. We text out about a dozen messages a month, and they're always critically important breaking news stories that you do want to know about, or at least we think you do. Breaking national news about things on the national front or out of Washington, D.C., or could be a local story that's breaking in our valley. For example, our last Text Connect message was that Northumberland County Commissioner Rick Schock, the chairman of the Commissioner's Board, won't seek re-election. So he changed his mind, so we sent out that new message via Text Connect. If you're not a Text Connect member, you can sign up at WKOK.com. We don't text you any advertising or anything you don't want. The messages aren't sponsored. It's an opportunity for you to receive direct notification that there's a major story at WKOK.com. And if you wish to ignore them, you can do so. But we don't send out.
But you do that at your own risk.
Don't ignore us. Right. We will not be ignored. Who said that? I will not be ignored.
I'm sure somebody famous somewhere.
All right. Yesterday when we were talking about a teacher, was that in California?
No, I don't think it was California.
Okay. Well, a teacher somewhere, not in Pennsylvania, was let go because the teacher declined to use a transgender student's new pronouns.
Virginia.
In the state of Virginia. And what would happen is the teacher would call the transgender student by her new name, Roberta,
No, I think we used Robert and Roberta as an example.
Okay, scratch it. Yeah, so the teacher would use the name Roberta, which was the new name, but in private conversations with peers or perhaps administrators, refused to use the new pronoun and probably use the old pronoun, referring to a Roberta as a he. And because of what the district felt was discrimination, and again, Joe and I weren't given, there's some missing sentence here that says, because of this, the student did not blank. The student did feel ostracized.
Well, the student felt disrespected.
Right. Well, that came out of it. But that means somebody has to tell the student that, in other words.
Obviously, somebody did.
Something happened.
Right.
Well, or there's a sentence here that something happened. But in any event, okay. I simply argue that the teacher should be forced to show respect to the student, as they should be obligated to show respect to all students, no matter what is happening in the student's life.
You missed out one element, that he used his Christian religion as a reason why he refused to change the personal pronoun.
Right, which I feel is
never used any pronoun for the person at all, just referred to them by their name.
And that's it.
And for that, he got fired.
And all of this is background because we received a great email that started out with this. Apparently, the phrase, mind your own business, is not one that Mark recognizes as the hallmark of his faux libertarian philosophy. And I asked for an elaboration.
And you got it.
And here it is from Mike.
Mike says, it is the totalitarian mindset that would compel or mandate speech by its citizens. I would guess that at least 50% of the school population has no issue with referencing transgendered persons as they wish. wish. But that's not good enough. They want to make it law and task the public education system, whose standing to exist at all is dubious according to most libertarians, to enforce this egregious, pompous fad as if it were codified as law. If the schools were not allowing this expression, then they would have a case to make. But no! Everyone must be made unanimously identical, marching in lockstep to accommodate the triggered feelings du jour. If you want to modify your genitals, then that is your right. I do not question that, but you cannot expect others to validate that decision by restricting their free speech, as if using the wrong pronoun were analogous to shouting fire in a crowded theater. I would think it would be morally satisfying enough to be known by other leftists to be a member of the club that adheres to this kind of smugness, and sufficiently punitive to look down your nose at the rest of us. But if you think you're making us into a kinder, gentler people by admonishing those of us who do not recognize the king's fine new set of clothes, then you are sadly mistaken.
Wow. Yes. Great email. Thank you so much, Mike. Really
Excellent
appreciate
point.
It. Well, and I really appreciate his viewpoint, and he very articulately states what is Joe's side of this story, this idea that, you shouldn't have to recognize this, you shouldn't have to respect it.
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say you shouldn't have to recognize it or respect it.
It's your side of this argument. You didn't specifically say those things. But your side is that the student should not be honored or sort of given the proper due.
But he was. He or she was because the
Not
the
by
teacher.
This individual teacher, to the point of discrimination in the minds of the school district.
You're making this a much bigger deal than it is. I mean, it's
I'm just
not
arguing
like he
what
deliberately.
It is.
Set out to disrespect this student. He just referred to her when he referred to her at all by her name. He didn't use the female pronouns that she would have preferred,
okay.
But he didn't use any pronouns. It's not like he said, kept referring to her as him.
I got that. We'll stipulate that.
Okay, so what's the big deal here?
In the minds of the district, it rose to the level of discrimination. So there was some lack of either respect or opportunity that this student did not receive, that the student was discriminated against. Skip the fact that the student felt ostracized. We don't really quite know what that's all about. Maybe the fact they might feel ostracized simply because this whole argument is happening in that district. But nonetheless,
well, I think Mike makes the excellent point. They
I do. I agree with Mike. I'm not disagreeing. You know, it does seem wholly pompous that we should be codify that you have to respect someone else's, using Mike's words, poor decision making. So therefore, in the school district, you do have to have rules that people have to respect all of the students to the utmost ability, of their utmost ability. You can't just carve out a certain segment of the student body and say, well, they don't deserve quite as much respect, because people will take that opportunity. Those students will be disrespected. So unfortunately, where you have people working, and wherever humans are involved, you're going to have individuals who don't agree with other people's decisions. They're going to want to disrespect them. They're going to want to discriminate. And if you don't codified that they have to recognize fully all students, then they won't do it.
Well, I think you're missing the larger perspective here. Suppose every student had something they wanted to be called that was different from what normally you would call them. You suppose you wanted to be called Miss Chestnut.
Well, that's not what this isn't about nicknames.
No, but just,
this
but
is about
still,
proper names. Well, don't diminish it into
I'm not diminishing
people,
it. I'm just saying that I don't think
choosing
the teacher should be required to call people by something that they don't appear to be.
Okay. Well, bottom line is you have a teacher who actively discriminated in
how?
That's that sentence we don't know. This led to something that the teacher did or didn't do that would have benefited that student. We're not told what that is.
But you're assuming the teacher's in the wrong. Couldn't you look at it from the teacher's standpoint for a moment? His Christian faith dictated to him, rightly or wrongly, and I know you disagree with that, that he should not refer to this person in pronouns that he doesn't believe they fit.
Okay.
But instead of acting on that, he chose to call the student by the name they wanted. So, I mean, I think he was trying to make an accommodation to them.
He went as far as his conscience would allow.
Right. He made an accommodation to them, and at the same time, he hoped they would make an accommodation to him.
I do see that teacher's perspective on that, and I understand that, and I can appreciate that. And it must have been a real internal torment for the teacher if they feel this strongly about this. But the fact of the matter is, what does our teacher say, or what does our letter writer say about when everybody has to behave precisely
everybody
the same way?
Everybody must be made unanimously identical, marching in lockstep to accommodate the triggered feelings du jour.
Well, yeah, and that's true. We should do that. When you have an opportunity to discriminate and disrespect, a teacher should not be given the opportunity to do so. That's just the bottom line. You know, that's the real bottom line here. But we, like I said, we aren't given, we're just missing one piece of information. Or unless not using the student's pronouns in this circle of peers or teachers or whoever it was is sufficient, you know, to be discrimination, that doesn't rise to that level in my quick observation. But if that's all it is, remember, this is unanimous. You know, there's no one in the district standing up for this teacher.
But you're actually bouncing back and forth here. When we discuss the Lord's firing of the teacher over there who is pregnant and not wed, you know, you say, well, you know, the contract is you have to follow the law, you have to follow the contract. Well, there is no law here requiring that a teacher specify the personal pronouns of choice of an individual.
Well, a teacher must have violated some policy. They can't just say, hey, you're behaving oddly or badly, that's it, you're done.
I would hope what we don't know is whether the teacher's union, and I would bet my bottom dollar this teacher belongs to one, whether they're going to sit still for this or whether they're going to defend him.
We'll have to find out. We have all the students or the teacher's real name, correct? And of course, certainly have the district administrator's real name. So
right, the teacher's
this
name
should
is
be
Peter Vlaming, V-L-A-M-I-N-G.
It should be possible that we'll be able
to
follow this.
Yep.
All right, well, to be continued. But thank you, Mike, for the email. Very much appreciated. Nicely done and good argument. And I think you make a lot of good points. Let's see. What is this? Another email says, good morning. I contacted the previous mayor of Sunbury that there should be a bench at the bus stop. I have since found out where the bus stop was. Remember, yesterday I wasn't sure. It is at 4th and Market Streets.
Oh, okay.
So it's where the old bank is. Good morning. Anyway, I went there 2 weeks ago, and there is a bench there for people. Thank you, Mayor Kurt Karlovich, for getting one for travelers. Thanks, Bob. So,
where does this bus go that stops there?
These are, you know, the Greyhound and Trailways buses, type buses. I don't know where they go.
Okay. That one's really, I think, more off the air than on. So.
Oh, okay. And let's see what else.
I think that covers
it. Oh, that covers it. Back right after George H.W. Bush died, Larry sent us a note from Texas saying he saw this in downtown Houston. George H.W. Bush and Barbara Bush will be missed. And it is a picture of one of the downtown banks, but all of their lighting is illuminated in such a way to outline the number 41 in red, white, and blue on the side of the Omni Hotel in downtown Houston. So that was an honor that he wanted to bring to our attention. So we appreciate that.
That was very nice.
Shall we read these?
Well, no, but I have something here I thought we would want to touch on. You know, I've talked about this immigrant caravan, and you have passionately defended the fact that they are here for asylum from being harmed.
Well, they should be processed
in
the normal fashion, yes.
Okay. Well, did you see the latest? A migrant group is demanding that President Trump either let them in or pay them each $50,000 to turn around. So much for the argument that they're being oppressed in their home country. If you give them $50,000, they'll turn around and go back. Two groups of Central American migrants marched to the U.S. consulate in Tijuana on Tuesday with a list of demands, with one group delivering an ultimatum to the Trump administration. Either let them in to the U.S. or pay them $50,000 each to go home. Among the demands were that the deportations be halted and that asylum seekers be processed faster and in greater numbers. This is according to the San Diego Union-Tribune newspaper. The first group of caravan members that included about 100 immigrants arrived at the consulate around 11 a.m. Alfonso Guerrero Uola, an organizer from Honduras, said the $50,000 figure was chosen as a group. It may seem like a lot of money to you, he told the paper, but it's a small sum compared to everything the United States has stolen from Honduras. He said the money would allow the migrants to return home and start a small business. Now, if you're being oppressed by the regime, why would you want to start a small business in that country? So much for their argument that they're being oppressed. I find this extremely. Yes, it's exactly what it is.
Ocean's 5,000. It's a new movie coming out. 5,000 illegal immigrants arrive, or 5,000 asylum seekers arrive at the border. Well, they actually don't sound. They sound like entrepreneurs, less so than asylum seekers.
They gave the consulate 72 hours to respond.
Well, that was kind of them. I'm sure President Trump is flying down there even as we speak to get that clock ticking.
Yeah, with the $50,000. I mean, they won't give him money for the wall or any part of the wall. But, you know, it's amazing to me that that meeting yesterday with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck and crying Chuck Schumer, as the president calls him, that they, you know, couldn't come up with $5 billion for the wall, but they came up with $150 billion to get President Obama to hand to Iraq.
It's not right.
No, it's not.
We shouldn't have handed out any of that money. All right, we're going to take a quick break. If anybody wishes to comment about the asylum seekers extorting the U.S. consulate in Tijuana, call us on the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line, 1-800-795-9565. If you'd like to remark about the argument, Joe and I are in the weeds now on this teacher in Virginia who was fired because he declined to use the new pronouns for a transgender student, citing his Christian faith, and so the district fired him. And we haven't heard if he's doing any pushback or the union suing yet. So we're going to talk about that as our show progresses. We're going to talk about Narcan. And Joe says it's a waste of money to provide Narcan to addicts so that they'll be saved from an overdose. I fall on the side of the fact that it's a wise expenditure to try to help individuals right before they die. You can't get better unless you're alive.
And as so usual, you have mischaracterized my position on this issue, but I will elaborate when we return from the break, which I would urge you to take at once.
I'm so pathetic. I even
so that I may yell at you off mic.
I even mischaracterized my side of the story. So, oversimplification is the life bread of the On the Mark talk show. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. We invite you to call them at their telephone number, which isn't printed here, but you can get them online at sunburymotors.com. Do as I've done. Go to the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury for state inspection, alignments, body work, body wash. Not for you personally, but for your automobile. Or, most importantly, they could pump you up with nitrogen for your tires. They would just love to put a new set of nice snow tires on your vehicle so you're good to go for the winter months. They are open at the Quick Lane Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Again, find them on the web and everything they sell there, Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln, tons of used vehicles at sunburymotor.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
I thought I was going to have to turn my headphones up. I just did the reintroduction without the microphones on.
Well, I was fortunately paying attention, so.
Well, if you can't hear, you know there's a problem. Those headphones are up to 90 decibels.
No, that.
Rob Sanders, our fabulous producer, he knows who once said the phrase, I will not be ignored.
I knew it right away.
What am I supposed to do? You won't answer my calls. I'm not going to be ignored, Dan.
Is that the one you were thinking of?
Yes.
That's Glenn Close.
Oh, okay.
In Fatal Attraction.
And those are her parting words before the rabbit.
Just about, yes. Exactly.
Ends up in the dunk tank.
Yeah.
All right. And that's all we'll say about that on the morning show. All right, welcome aboard, everybody. It is On the Mark, WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, and the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line that Than dialed is 1-800-795-9565. Than, let's just start out by stipulating that Joe is no good, and he's wrong on this argument, so we'll get the insult out of the way. What else?
No insult. I think that insults are kind of... You guys insult so much that I decided I probably shouldn't. But my question has to do with this transgender thing. You don't seem to know much about it, but you seem to have all kinds of ideas. And I suspect one of the things that the person does, is say bad things about folks who are transgender. Joe does it. I have heard so many people do it. Yesterday, somebody said, somebody who decides they want to be a girl, that's not the way it works. And you really should think about what you say, because you can hurt people's feelings badly who already are having trouble getting through a change that nature gave them. It caused me to come up with a question. Do you think God makes a lot of mistakes?
Well, he made you.
Okay. That's
and he not made
an
me.
Insult.
He
I'll
made
just
me.
Let that go.
He made me, too. I'll throw us all in there.
That would have been
but
what then, I would have said had I insulted you back.
In
but
answer
that's not
to
what
your,
I'm asking.
In answer to your question,
yes.
This teacher did nothing to this student. He had the student a year before when the student was a female. And when the student became
a
male...
I heard the whole story, Joe.
Okay, well, this is additional detail from the Richmond Times-Dispatch.
Okay.
He never said anything bad about the child. He just refused to use the new pronoun set. The child was offended by that. You know,
I would be very offended.
But he always called the child by the name the child chose to reflect his new identity. He never insulted her or him by making reference to the fact that he had been something else the year before. He respected the kid by using their name. He just didn't use the personal pronouns.
Don't know that he respected the kid. There's no indication of that.
Well, there's no indication of the school board firing that he didn't. I mean, they just said that the teacher violated their, non-discrimination policies.
Right.
I don't
know
how that's discrimination, though, Than. In all honesty, I don't see that as discrimination.
But you don't know the guy's attitude. You have no idea. He may be back in the teacher's lounge saying, oh, my gosh, I've got a queer in my grade, and I have to call him these names. Now, that's not being respectful. We do not know that that happened, but we don't know that it's different. It didn't.
Well, that wasn't what he was fired for, I can tell you that.
My question is still, does God make a lot of mistakes?
How many angels can dance on the head of a pin? I don't know God well enough. I haven't seen him lately or talked to him to find out if he's sorry he did certain things.
Well, my guess is that most people would say, my goodness, no. God doesn't make mistakes because he's all-powerful, he knows everything, et cetera, et cetera. And then I hear people come on the mark and decide it's a good idea to correct God's mistakes because they think it's a mistake. I have a feeling that if God is making people a certain way, it's probably because that's the way he meant to do it. My understanding has been that God doesn't make mistakes.
Well, if that's the case...
I have a different idea of God, but my understanding is that Christians think that God doesn't make mistakes.
But couldn't you argue, Than, for the sake of argument, that God did make a mistake if he put a girl into a boy's body? Or
well,
a boy into a girl's body? Wouldn't that be a mistake?
If you decided that you were so much more able to do this sort of thing and think it out, then God, yes, perhaps you would want to change it, but I would guess you probably should realize that most of us feel that the God you are talking about probably does everything correctly.
All right, if he does everything correctly and you were born a girl, then why should you change what God already put in?
Well, my goodness.
Just out of curiosity.
We can think of no reason, can we, that that could possibly be the way that God wanted this person to be expressed to the world, possibly to even show to people who are ignorant of the subject that this is something that is normal, that has been going on since the world began, that people seem to be in the wrong body for whom they are. This is not something new.
Would you concede that the overwhelming majority of people accept what God gave them?
Well, yeah, I suppose that might be true.
Well, I think it definitely is true.
Okay. But the point is what in that case?
Well, the point is that if God doesn't make mistakes and God made me a man, then he intended for me to be a man.
Okay.
I'm just saying
it.
I'm using your argument.
You understand the mind of God. Now, that's something that we hadn't come to before.
No, but you said you're the one who said God didn't make mistakes. I'm just asking you whether or not you consider that a mistake.
No, I don't. I consider that the God I've learned about from Christianity does not make mistakes.
Okay. Thank you so much, Stan. Appreciate the call. You know what the music means.
I do. I've heard that before. This is WKOK, Sunbury, Pennsylvania.
Thank you very much, sir. What the man just said is very true. This is WKOK Sunbury. It is 9 a.m.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
So,
what? You want me to start?
Well, you seem so eager, Beaver, in the previous episode. On the Mark, sponsored...
What do you mean by that? I will not be ignored.
Says Glenn Close. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company.
Please use the proper pronouns for me.
All right. He is over there. Refusing to be ignored and enjoying interrupting on a regular basis. On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line is sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You are welcome throughout our program to email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. Here's some news headlines. More long traffic delays are expected in Sunbury today as Route 147 will be blocked occasionally on the Priestley Memorial Bridge near Northumberland. PennDOT's going to set up their large scooper-type device crane situation thingamabob and get more debris out of the... It has a more official name than that, I assure you. They have not done so yet. There's a little bit of slowing on the Priestley Bridge right now, but no long lines have developed just yet. They're pulling debris out of the Susquehanna River. This is part of the flood cleanup that will be taking place in Montour, Columbia, and Northumberland counties. Citing a lack of volunteers, Sunbury Revitalization Incorporated made it official this week they do not have enough support, volunteer and otherwise, for the New Year's Eve countdown in the downtown. You remember it started in 2012, but has insufficient support this year. The head of SRI says they were hoping volunteers might step forward when they had a wildly successful late show. Shoppers night turnout this past week, but Sierra Woodling says that they do want to bring the celebration back in the future, but not this year at 4th and Market Streets. Despite the city's financial troubles, residents or property owners won't see a tax increase in Sunbury in 2019.
It's great that we don't raise taxes for the city or the public. We also have money to pay back that loan or a loan note. and we have 100 and some thousand in that. So if we do borrow that money and we need it, we have a good start paying it back in the next 3 years.
City Treasurer Kevin Troop says the budget does have enough money to pay back a tax anticipation loan that was received this year. $4.6 million budget does have money for 5 police officers in the city of Sunbury.
New ones.
New ones, right. Oh, yeah, not just to fund the existing ones.
Right.
And finally, well, we have a caller waiting. Why don't we do the last news item about Narcan in a moment, but Joe's on the line. Good morning, sir. Thanks for calling in. You are on the mark.
Okay, good morning. And I do believe Fan was just on, and he did answer his own question, I think, in his own opinion. You know, do you think God makes a lot of mistakes was his question. He said no. That was, you know, his Christian understanding is that God doesn't make mistakes, and that's also my understanding. So then let's ask, who would make mistakes? If Mark or Joe, just, I'm not usually in the discussion. I'm the guy who tries to get my 3 minutes in, but who would make mistakes?
People.
I'll go with people.
Yeah, I'm
myself.
With you.
Okay, you agree. People make mistakes, such as maybe the parents of this child or the child themselves want to do this, to change themselves from what they were. If God made the person the way they were, and I think then, I'm not sure, but then also God puts the desire into them to have them change themselves from a girl to a boy.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, you can probably go on endlessly, you know, on that, but it is that people would make mistakes. So that could be a possible answer, and to, you know, that who does make the mistakes. So I think it would fall on the shoulders of those. But the teacher, I don't believe, is making a mistake by sticking with his religious beliefs. Maybe it's not what we believe. Maybe he, you know, he says Christian, but there are many different factions of Christians, so...
Divisions. Yeah. We don't like to call them factions.
Well, it's interesting. We read...
Okay, There are some different, slightly beliefs in Christianity. So if you go from Catholic to, let's say, Jehovah's Witness, there's some.
The Catholics are wrong on.
Here's where I think the school district made a terrible mistake, because we read from the Richmond newspaper, I was reading and telling Mark during the break. What happened is that this teacher had this student a year ago and had them again this year, French teacher. And when they were doing some class activity involving the young man now working on a virtual headset, he was headed for a wall, and the teacher said, "Stop her." So he didn't use the right pronoun. It was a mistake. But he had her the year before when she was a girl, and now he had her again when she's a boy. So he made that mistake, and the student felt upset about it, and that triggered this complaint.
Right. I agree that this is unbelievably minor for a man to lose his job over, and it seems to be his holdout with his Christian beliefs, which I think that legally he's going to have a case, because of we know that, although it's not quite the same, it was the Obamacare, Hobby Lobby, and Little Sisters of the Poor was their beliefs, and the First Amendment, he has a stronger hold than the contract that he has, or the wording of the contract that the school board has. That's just not going to go against your First Amendment, that he can't do this. So, and Mark uses the word discrimination, and I don't think legally we can use that word, because it's really not covered in what the law says is discrimination. It may be sexual orientation.
Well, that's what the district said that the teacher was doing.
Right, and that, like Joe said, if they fight that, it probably will not fall into anything that the government recognizes as discrimination, just by not saying he or she. You know, that I don't think that is discrimination. You know, because, well, discrimination, briefly put, means to distinguish or single out or to make a distinction about. And I don't think he's, you know, doing that in a way, because there would have to be other transgender kids that he would have to say she for a transgender, that he wouldn't be doing it for just this one person. But as far as the rest of the children go in that school, he may use he or she for them because that's what he knows them as, you know, but he couldn't.
Okay. Well, take it out of the school for a minute.
Oh, brother.
There are people that knew this young lady a year ago, and now she's transitioned to a boy. Do you think there aren't other people who, when referring to her or him, might make that same mistake just because it's fairly new?
I agree. And I think that I don't know how. I just keep going back to this looks minor from afar, you know, that, you know, like, oh, okay, you know, hey, you know, could you, and, you know, clean that up a little bit or not refer. And if he sticks on, you know, he's sticking to his Christian beliefs, and I think he's getting terminated for that rather than anything else.
Yeah. Fair point.
All right. Thank you so much,
Joe,
for calling. I appreciate
it. As always, take care.
Mark, did you ever read 1984 by George Orwell?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, 1974.
Way back when I did, too. And I just thought about your totalitarianism in the first email. That, of how you like language and doublespeak, is I think George Orwell's. All right. Well, thank you. Have a good day, man.
You too.
Appreciate
take care.
It. Thank you so much. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Finally, in news headlines, Pennsylvania is expanding efforts to make the anti-overdose medication naloxone available to the public with a statewide distribution day this week. Officials say tomorrow that naloxone will be provided free to any state resident at 80 locations, most of them state, county, and municipal health offices from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. The drug is regularly available at most pharmacies in Pennsylvania at little or no cost to those with insurance. It can reverse overdoses by blocking opioids' effect on the brain and respiratory system. The Wolf Administration says over the past 4 years, more than 20,000 people in Pennsylvania have been revived by police and emergency medical services responders using naloxone. We talked about this on Monday's Sunrise with medical leaders from Geisinger about this program. Naloxone. Now, money well spent. $5 million allocated in Pennsylvania to distribute free naloxone.
And how much have they allocated for EpiPens for people who, through no fault of their own, have allergies serious enough to die from them if they don't get that? And now the drug company that makes it has raised the price exponentially.
You think that's equivalent?
I think it's definitely equivalent.
An allergy crisis in the U.S. Hundreds of people died in Snyder Union, Northumberland County last year because of allergies?
I think that there are people who suffer from serious enough allergies that their life could be threatened if they come in contact with certain substances. The only thing that would save them is an EpiPen, and the EpiPen price is through the roof. If you're going to take care of one drug, what about people with diabetes, also through no fault of their own?
So you think
they have to pay for those expensive drugs.
You think allergies are the same as the opioid
crisis?
And
diabetes.
You think those are the same as the opioid crisis?
It's not the crisis I'm talking about. It's the practice of where we spend the money. If you're going to pay for somebody's medical treatment,
right, absolutely.
Shouldn't it be for somebody who had no choice over what happened to them?
Dan, what's your view on this? Naloxone for free for people right before they die, or as Joe said,
I'm not saying don't give it to them. I'm just saying there should be a charge involved with it.
Gotcha. Go ahead, Dan. What's your view on this?
Well, I had called about the earlier statement by Than, if that's all right.
Sure. Go right ahead.
Than's theologically is right. God does not make mistakes. And the evil in this world was put here by the second most powerful force in the universe, which is His Majesty the Devil. And anything that's out of kilter from the norm, Satan did it. And how he does it is a lot of mysteries. And first of all, when mankind fell, the gene pool was corrupted. And it's been, as time goes on, it's more corrupted, and things change over time. And that's one thing. And you can read about Satan's power in the first couple chapters of the book of Job.
So God doesn't make mistakes, but Satan imposes his errors on us.
Yeah, that's correct.
Well, could you not make the argument that God made a mistake in allowing Satan to go off on his own?
Well, that's where, Joe, you get into the... God didn't create us robots, neither did he create Satan in his original form, a robot that demanded worship. He gave us free will, Satan, when he was a good angel.
Yeah, but he could take it back if he thought we were abusing it.
But that's not his way. He gives us a choice. He gave me a choice. I could keep going and following Satan, or I could choose him. And I made the choice to choose the Lord. Now, even if you don't make a choice, you're in the camp of Satan automatically. You're born in the camp of Satan automatically. No matter if you're a great good person, you may not ever commit a lot of evil, but you're still in the camp of Satan. He has you. And unless you get saved, then you'll stay in that camp. But so
right.
God gave us the choice, and Satan had power to stir up storms. Remember when Christ was asleep on the ship and there was a big storm? That was stirred up by Satan, and the disciples were fearful, so they got Christ awake, and he calmed us. He held out his hand and said, "Be still." Well, that was the devil stirring up the storm. He wanted to kill Christ and probably the disciples before the time of the crucifixion. So Satan has power over, a lot of power over the universe.
All right, we got you, Dan. Thank you so much for calling in. Appreciate that.
You bet. You guys have a good one and make the right choice.
All right, thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Paul, you get a minute on the air. Go right ahead.
Okay, I was just thinking, how do you put it as a mistake? Because God created man in his image, and God doesn't make mistakes. So what you're talking about is a creation of man, where man and his genes, when they cross each other, they become something different than what it would be naturally.
Wow. Okay. Well, I can see why you would say that. Anything else to say? What's your view on naloxone?
Well, there really isn't much of a view, because anybody that voices their opinion is what they think. And the sad part about it is nothing is ever done to change it. So man will never change as long as he has his own view on any subject.
Okay.
Regardless of whether or not if it's religious, scientific.
Right. Yeah, we're not here to change minds,
nope.
Just to offer opinions. All right.
Thanks, Paul.
Appreciate that. All right. Barry, state wants to get free naloxone. Joe says, well, if they're going to do that, I should get my allergy medicine also for free. What's your view on this?
Oh, I believe so. But I don't understand where the deterrent is. Now, death is not even a deterrent. I used to say, well, if I do that, I might die, so I won't do that. Well, now it's not even a deterrent. A lethal dose is non-existent anymore. I don't believe in letting people die, but after the first time you bring them back, it should be mandatory rehab.
Yeah, I agree.
Because they will not help themselves unless somebody helps them.
Right. Yeah.
It's almost enabling, isn't it? You know, to make it
available. That's what it sounds like to me.
Right.
I mean, what's the deterrent anymore? And now, if they have money to buy heroin, then now you're giving the anti thing for free.
Well, fortunately, our state is saying, and our governor is saying, and the legislature, which allocated this money, is saying that you are absolutely right. And Joe's right. You can have a conversation that if you're going to give people naloxone, you should give them their EpiPens, because the gravity of the situation is equal in some circumstances. But what the governor and the legislature are doing is saying, fine, those are all valid arguments. We can advance them. We can have them this summer when we're talking about the budget. But the dilemma is that if you do not give naloxone to somebody today who has an overdose, they may die. So you are right. They may go back and use opioids again. They may use it a third time. I think one of the police officers said here it was, I forget the precise count, but it was three or four times for the same individual.
I've heard stories of that in my own small town.
Right, right. Okay, so this happens.
Four times in one weekend.
So your speculation is real.
And when does it stop?
Right, but here's the rub. After the fourth time, that person started a process that could lead them to getting significant help. So the opportunity for him and for that family is do this cyclical thing where, yeah, you're using and overdosing and sometimes dying, but sometimes being revived, and die or eventually get help.
What if it took 25 times instead of four? Would we give them 24 doses, hoping on the 25th?
Well, fortunately, you and I aren't the deciders of such things, so I have a feeling that...
It just scares me, sir.
Right.
I just don't understand when it's going to stop. You're just... And then places like Philadelphia will give you a clean needle and a clean place to go. Now, why don't they arrest him for possession? Like, someone with a small amount of marijuana gets arrested, but this guy has the heroin on him and there's no arrests.
Well, I don't know
why part of the problem here is that they are treating it like a disease, and I think it should be treated that way, and there should be treatment available for people. They should have opportunities to get off of
it. It's a war on drugs.
Right.
You can't fight it with kid gloves.
If it is, we're losing it, and we're losing it big
time. No, we're definitely losing it, and we just keep throwing money at it.
All right, we got you. Thank you so much.
All right, gentlemen, I don't want to tie up your line. I have to get back to work.
Well, this is perfect. No, this is why we have the open phone. Thank you,
sir. Hey, have a Merry Christmas, sir.
Hey, you too, fella. Thank you. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Joe says, do not give naloxone out for free unless you're going to help other people with allergies. And I say this is a life-saving measure that we should be doing. What's your opinion? 1-800.
Well, let me ask you this. Do police departments carry EpiPens? No.
Not
Do police departments carry insulin? No.
Well,
do police departments carry naloxone? Yes.
Oh, my God, Joe.
So, I mean, look
Joe's
at it
right
this
again.
Way. I'm
right.
just saying that I think there are
Oh, brother.
The people who have diabetes and the people who have allergies didn't make a decision to get them. You know going into drugs that you're dealing with something that's bad.
I hope you're just arguing this for the sake of arguing. You don't really feel this way. But we're going to find out when we come back. 1-800-795-9565. If you're obese, diabetic, have a peanut allergy, or you're about to die from a massive overdose of heroin, just go ahead and die, says Joe, because we're
not
funding EpiPens and naloxone. Yes, you did.
I did not.
A special holiday greeting from your local hometown pharmacies.
It's the holiday season in Central PA. Everyone's busy all night and all day, planning for visitors to their hometowns, prepping for parties with New Year's countdowns.
If anyone starts to feel under the weather, we have lots of things to help them feel better. With pharmacists and staff so friendly and quick, a hometown pharmacy can just do the trick.
In boroughs and towns, we're so very close by, near the river and woods. It's not a long drive. There's Bloomsburg, Lewisburg, Northumberland 2, Mifflinburg, Danville, and Mount Pleasant Mills. Ooh.
We love what we do, and we truly do care. When it comes to your health, we're always right there. You can give us a call. Better yet, stop on by. We'll have a nice talk. You can give us a try.
There's nothing quite like a hometown pharmacy where everything's the way it all used to be. Wishing everyone out there good health and good cheer for the holiday season and throughout the year.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from everyone at your hometown pharmacies.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Greg is first. We're talking about naloxone. Go right ahead. I think it should be distributed for free to addicts. Joe says, if and only if you give it to diabetics and people with allergies, too. What's your view?
Well, number one, Mark, I think you're wrong. You take and put the health and welfare of people who are doing illegal criminal activity above those of us who have legitimate lifetime allergies that are life-threatening. If I don't have an EpiPen or I don't have insulin or somebody in my family, which I have to pay for, I die. You're saying, well, they don't have naloxone and they overdose on an illegal drug. They die. You're putting the value of a criminal with a disease or not, over the life of a law-abiding, tax-paying citizen who has to pay for their life-saving medication. If we can take and afford to give naloxone free to criminals who abuse an illegal substance and do it consciously from the start, I don't, or anybody else that has a disease or an allergy, ask to have that. It's not a conscious decision on my part, but I got to take and pay for my medicine. You're off your rocker, and you know what? This is about the furthest I've seen you go on something like this. Your morals, Christianity, I don't care what you want to call it. I just think you've been corrupted. I've never seen you go this far off the deep end over something like that that puts the life and welfare of a criminal, and that's what they are if they're using, it's a criminal act, above those of law-abiding citizens that have the same entitlements and rights as everybody else.
Well,
you really have lost my faith in you as the host of this show as of today, and I'm sorry to say that.
Well, here's the rub, and you know, you're entitled to your opinion. But the trouble is I'm obsessed with human life. I know they're criminal.
Why are you putting
somebody
who's a criminal?
Hold on. You can't insult me and then let me respond. I'm obsessed with human life. I know you want addicts to die because they're criminals, but I do not. I can't believe you call yourself a Christian and you want addicts to die. I know Joe wants to obfuscate this and turn it into an allergy discussion, and that's fine. We can change the argument into something it's not.
Nobody wants anybody
to die.
No.
Hold on. It's Greg and I are talking here.
Okay. Well, you're not. You're talking. Greg's.
Well, I listened to him for, 2 minutes solid, and he can listen to me for 30 seconds. We're saving lives here, and I know that you can change the argument into something else, and you can insult me until, every day. You know, we have open phones, but when you have an opportunity to save a life, you should do so. Not let people die because you've made a decision they're criminal. Okay? Got it?
I still don't understand why you take and push that ahead of those of us that have unmade choices in our lives that have to pay for something, yet you're willing to give something life-saving to somebody who makes a bad choice.
Well,
I didn't make those choices.
Right, gotcha.
I got to pay for it. You're not offering to take and cover mine for free. Why?
All right. I will thoughtfully consider this argument that these individuals dying from overdoses are doing it from their own volition, are the same as allergies. I'll give you that thoughtful consideration, but I want you to talk to somebody who has died and was brought back and turned their life around, or they know somebody in their family that's an opioid addict.
You know what? I did that for 25 years in fire and EMS and watched people die every day about that, and also people that didn't have life-saving medication on the legitimate legal side because they couldn't afford it, and they got stung by bees, or maybe they didn't have their insulin because they couldn't afford it and were elderly. You have your priorities backwards. You either do it for all or you do it for none.
Right. Why not save money when you can let an addict die? That's a good choice.
That's an unfair.
Thank you,
that's
Greg.
That's an unfair.
That's what he just.
No,
that
no,
is precisely
not,
what he just said. That is exactly verbatim what he just said.
What we're talking about here is people who, whether or not there should be a charge for it. In other words, you're saying just give it to them and hope they'll turn their lives around. I'm saying
I never
give
said
it
we
to
should.
Them.
No. You're
give it
arguing
to them, but
something
then send
that's...
them into. Well, you're mischaracterizing my argument. I'm going to mischaracterize
okay,
yours.
Okay. Well, as long as you stipulate that you're doing that, go
well,
right ahead.
You think I am? I don't think I am. But seriously, if you want to go your route, then what happens after we give it to them? We just pat them on the head and say, "Have a nice day," or do they go into automatic detox and they get taken care of and they get treatment that might put them back on the right path, whether they want to be there or not.
All right. Good point all. Thank you. Lance, you're on the mark.
Well, I can't think that a person that would call themselves a Christian could abide abortion, but that's just my opinion, okay? And insofar as naloxone, or however you call it, what if we had a pill that would relieve instantaneously now a hangover? Do you think people would drink alcohol more?
Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I got my eyes
well,
on the
exactly
Osti Spumante already.
What we're doing with this.
It contributes to more opioid use. You know, and I think there are studies that verify what you're saying, that it does actually increase abuse. It doesn't create more users. And I'm sorry I can't attribute this, but I read this study not too long ago that if you make naloxone readily available, individuals who are abusers abuse it more.
Okay.
And it doesn't create users. Like, you and I aren't going to
so
start.
So then there's no good result of this, except that they're free to go on doing the way they living their life the way they have lived
okay,
it.
Okay, this program has one outcome or one goal and one mission only, life-saving. That's all it does. If this program works, more individuals will live. If it doesn't work, more addicts will die.
Live to what end? To continue the bad habits they've already exhibited?
Well, they could never get better unless they're alive.
Give it to them, but then require immediate and a mandated rehab. Immediate.
Well, that's an excellent argument. That's fine. I certainly wouldn't argue with that. I don't have any problem with that. Lance, this is your dime. Go right ahead.
I remember when about cigarettes, and they said cigarette advertising caused more smokers, but it didn't. All it did was took the people who were smoking as to which brand that they would prefer.
So it changed the brand. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's precisely the same thing with the naloxone, this study found that for individuals who were using heroin or other opioids, it did increase their abuse of it, but it did not create users. You know, like Joe and I wouldn't start because we know that if we OD. All right, we got more callers, Lance, but
okay,
thank you,
you
so much. Really appreciate the call. Judy, last caller before a quick break. You are on the mark.
Hi. I have two comments. One in relation to the transgender. I think as a Christian, I agree that with the comments, a lot of that have been made, but I also want us to stick to the science. Science says a boy's a boy and a girl's a girl, and they can't change in any way if they take things off or put things on. That's that. On the naloxone, as a nurse, I would be concerned about abuse. I would also be concerned, okay, so we give this guy or person naloxone in the event that they might have, but who's going to administer it? Who's going to be the one? Do they have to have that with a friend so that that friend can watch out for them and make sure they don't overdose? You see what I'm saying? I'm talking about logistics.
Not just having it.
You're saying is
right.
You go out for an evening,
right.
You've got your drugs and you've got your naloxone, and you're ready to roll.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
But who's going to give it to the person? You know what I'm saying? They
right.
have to have somebody with them who knows that they're going to be probably overdosing.
There has to be
like
a non-user in the room.
The designated non-user, just like the designated driver.
Right. And so then you've got two
lifesaver.
People complicit in a crime and in a, a moral dilemma there as well.
Right.
So, you know.
Gotcha.
And what if they don't administer it right? You know, who's going to train them how to administer it and stuff like that? There's a lot of things that are involved there, more than just the morals and the finances and stuff like that.
All right. Yeah, most people are opposed to this. Now, the governor's for it, and there's sufficient momentum in the legislature, but among rank and file and certainly in most discussions that take place, if both sides of this argument are permitted in the discussion, the answer for free naloxone, no strings attached, is a no. Thank you, Judy.
Yeah, I think it looks like a disaster in the waiting.
Waiting to happen.
Good point. Thanks
right.
a lot, Judy.
We got
appreciate
you. Thank you
call.
So much. Appreciate the call. We thank everybody. We got callers holding, callers coming in. We're going to take a quick break. As soon as we are done with that, Chris is on the line, and then George.
Hang on, folks.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. Callers waiting. George on the topic of naloxone. Then Chris, go right ahead.
We
you're
have
on.
Two lines open if you're trying to get through.
1-800-795-9565. George.
Hello, George.
Hi, George here. Thank you very much for bringing the topic to bear. In contrast to the other caller, I think this is excellent programming and the right topic to have discussed. And I think... I think the issue is, do you want to let people die who are, drug abusers? And I think you know, I agree that life is precious, and the answer is no. Clinically, naloxone exists because in the hospital and other settings, people can get too much narcotic for operations and other things. This is the thing that saves their lives. There are a lot of drug abusers who do turn things around. I guess, you know, one of the more famous examples of a heroin addict that did is Anthony Bourdain. So I think it's hard to abandon these people. There are other programs like Medicaid and Medicare that pay for more severe and less severe illnesses today that are government funded. I think the real argument is who pays. And, you know, if the state would like to fund it for Pennsylvania specifically and save these lives, I think that it's the right thing to do. But I also think that people should have to enroll like they do for Medicaid and Medicare. And this should not come from the taxpayers. If people are not, if someone is not a narcotic abuser and doesn't get the naloxone, I think they should get a tax credit. So in other words, if it's $250 per Pennsylvanian to fund the program should be funded, but then every citizen should get that $250 as a reduction in their property taxes or some other tax credit. Because while there is a need, and I agree that it should be funded and we should save these people, I'm not sure that everyone should pay. I think it should be distributed in a more fair manner. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know the old expression, actions have consequences. And, you know when you start out on drugs, it's not a good idea or that society frowns on it. So you have made a conscious choice to put yourself in harm's way. And society has some obligation, I agree, to bail you out. But exactly how far that obligation goes, I don't think it goes to my pocketbook entirely or yours.
Well, and as some listeners said, how often, how many times?
Right.
And you said the 25 example. Right. Yeah, go ahead, George. Go ahead. All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks,
appreciate
George,
that. Chris, thanks for being very, very patient. You're on the mark.
Yeah, well, I guess if they aren't worth saving, you might as well just execute them, right?
Well, yeah, how can you be pro-life and anti-naloxone?
And if you look into, I guess most of them are dying from street drugs and not from the pills they might have started on their addiction on. And one way would be to get rid of street drugs, and to do that is the way that, Switzerland and maybe some of the Scandinavian countries do, where you can register as a user and get your daily dose of heroin at a distribution point.
Who pays for that?
The people do, but the cost overall to the society is less because you don't have all the enforcement corruption and everything going on with the police and the underground culture. You've brought it above ground, and you've made it cheaper.
But you haven't done anything to you haven't done anything, Chris, have you, to rehabilitate these people, to make them productive members of society?
That's always there. That's the option's always there on that, yes.
The option, but it's not mandatory.
Not mandatory as far as I know. Maybe some countries have it and some countries don't. And, Joe, I noticed you said Chuck Schumer's name, and then you had to back up to get the insult in front of it because you don't like Trump using that kind of thing, but you had to say it yourself.
I just repeated
and
what Trump said.
Iran's money wasn't our money. We didn't dig up the money to give Iran. It was Iran's money.
We should have taken it from them.
Well, that's an argument you can make, but don't call it Iran's money. Don't call it our money we gave to Iran. It was Iran's money legally. Now, there's some people who say there was a way of us being able to get it from them, but we haven't tried to do that.
No, we gave it back to them.
We gave it back to them now, but it was their money. It didn't come out of taxpayer coffers.
Could have been a nice input for taxpayer coffers.
Christianity, I don't know why you Christians are always so sensitive, but you can't, you know, if you're in the workplace, you can't convert people even though you believe the Bible tells you to. If you're in the workplace, you can't teach evolution as a lie if you're a teacher. In the workplace, you follow the rules of the workplace. And he's perfectly free to call him, her, or whatever he wants to when he's not at work. But when he's at work, he has to follow the prescribed rules. And there is no Christian mandate on use of pronouns,
that's in the Ten Commandments that I can find.
Nor is there any requirement that you use the right ones.
So Christians have got to shape up.
Chris, there's nothing
in your workplace rules.
There's nothing in the rules that says you have to use the right pronouns either.
Yes, there is. It's in the school book rules.
I'm talking about religious. You were talking religion.
He was fired for insubordination.
Chris, you were talking religion. I was talking about religious rules. There is no obligation on the part of Christians to refer to people the way they choose to be referred to. It's not in the Bible. It's not a Ten Commandment.
But that's a negative obligation, and he was doing a positive non-referral.
The guy didn't insult the kid. He just didn't use the personal pronouns.
It wasn't. I don't know if he was that was what he was fired for. He was fired for insubordination because the principal probably told him, when you're in the school, you should use these pronouns about.
I think we've taken this as far as
about
look
out, him. In this
Chris,
case,
just
I
look at the
was,
read
right?
the Richmond newspaper story on it, then call back and tell me if you still feel the same way.
I did read a story on it. He was fired for insubordination.
In Richmond, the Richmond,
I repeat for the fourth time.
The Richmond newspaper.
I read it in a local newspaper article about this case.
Read it in the Richmond paper.
It was the first one that came up online.
Read it in the Richmond newspaper where it happened.
All right, we got you, Chris. Thank you so much.
It was the Richmond paper.
You said it was a local paper.
Local to Virginia, not to here.
You
didn't say that.
Oh, brother. Thank you so much, Chris.
You didn't
always
say that.
Always appreciate it.
Okay, we got emails. You want to do a break first?
Let's do the emails and then the break.
Okay. I think that Mr. Yaw and Mr. Cox have it right. The person who overdoses and is given naloxone should not be immune from prosecution that requires detox and therapy. Good point.
All right. Yeah, I'm not arguing that we shouldn't do that.
Okay. Joanne from Sunbury says, I think that if you believe you should try to revive an attempted suicide victim, you should also revive an overdose victim. I'm sure that many addicts attempt suicide because addiction may become unbearable. After a while, they find that they have no choice but to use. They just can't say no.
Says Joanne from Sunbury.
Sunbury,
thank you.
Right.
And one more.
And Margaret says, hi, guys. I'm siding with Mark 100% as far as the drug overdoses. And the need of epi and insulin is usually not brink-of-death stuff. Come on, guys. Listen to what Mark is saying and think about it. Also, providing all these medications that Joe wants sounds like universal health care to me, and that's a good thing.
There you go, Joe.
I didn't suggest providing it for everybody.
I
just said if you're talking about giving one person something, how do you... You know, equal enforcement of the law is always a big thing. If I give to one person, if I fine one person for running a red light, I should fine everybody who runs that red light.
Good point. You got me on that one. All right, we're going to take the promised break. We will be right back. We have some open lines. Call us now, 1-800-795-9565. We are talking about free naloxone available in Pennsylvania tomorrow.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, Mark Lawrence here. Joe McGranahan is with us, and as always, a stick in the mud when it comes to saving addicts from dying. Unless, of course, people with bee sting allergies get their EpiPens for free. With some rehabilitation, of course. 1-800-795.
They don't need rehabilitation. They just need help.
Oh, I got you. Okay. We want to let you know that the telephone line that one caller is waiting on is called the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line for a reason. It's toll-free, but, well, two reasons. And it's sponsored by the hometown pharmacies, the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trutz Pharmacy, Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Jennifer, the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop specifically, and Lewisburg Pharmacy. These are places where you can get personalized service on a first-name basis, real expertise when it comes to your pharmaceuticals that you need, drug interactions, EpiPens, and the generic EpiPens are out there now, so you can procure those. Maybe they even have the naloxone if you need that. Tell you what, they just super serve their customers in every way possible. Some of them got the drug take-back boxes. Some of them deliver. They're all located where you need them to be, right out in centrally located on Route 35 in Mount Pleasant Mills, Walnut Street in Mifflinburg, Duke Street in Northumberland, Mills Street in Danville, and Market Street in Bloomsburg, or 2nd Street in Lewisburg. It is your opportunity to save money, get super service, and get everything you need, literally everything you need from a pharmacy. Eschew the big box stores and favor the hometown pharmacies.
Want to say skip instead?
Skip the big box stores. Why send your money to China? Finally, a common sense humanitarian nurse's real opinion on free naloxone. Thank you so much for calling in, Cindy. You're on the mark.
Well, thank you for your introduction, Mark, but I suppose you're going to be disappointed in me because, no, I don't think we should be providing free naloxone.
I thoughtfully consider all of your important viewpoints.
Oh, do you? I appreciate that. I try to listen to you as well.
This is a change for him,
though.
And
consider what you have to say. You know, first of all, under the Unaffordable Health Insurance Act, also known as Obamacare, everyone has to have drug addiction health insurance. That was a mandate, one of the reasons why it costs so much for people who aren't addicted. Secondly, these people are making a choice. This goes to so many discussions we have on this show and that I listen to in society as a whole, where so many of the people that I live with feel the overwhelming need to direct my life and to make fundamental choices on my behalf. And should I not agree with the choice that they have made for themselves, then they feel comfortable imposing it on me. And I simply do not understand that thinking. I think, you know, first of all, you cannot force someone to rehab. I worked, when I was a student nurse, I worked in a rehab center. I have worked with people who are addicted both chemically and through alcohol. And I assure you, you can't make someone do this. You cannot force rehab. It's just that simple. So I think you're, for those people who believe that we can save these people, the only person who can save them is themselves. And until and unless they make that choice, nothing you do will change that. It's a very hard reality. And I know people like to play God and make choices for other people about how they lead their lives and what they do or don't do with them. But you're making a terrible mistake because the same thinking that you're using to impose your will on these people can be turned against you. And are you really willing to accept that you're going to have to lead your life the way I see it fit, and that you should eat salad twice a week, and you should stop eating eggs? And, I mean, there's just no end to the philosophies that I could choose to impose on my neighbors.
But what do we do with them, Cindy? What do we do with them? We can't keep enabling them by giving them endless supplies of naloxone to bring them back to the same bad habits.
That's what she's talking
about.
Well,
obviously, they have the money to purchase naloxone since they have the money to purchase these drugs.
True.
They're not. These drugs are not like Easter eggs laying along the street. These individuals are making a choice about how they use their money, often choosing not to eat, not to wear adequate clothing, not to seek adequate, by our definition, housing, in favor of this. And, you know, while I certainly would not adopt their lifestyle or share their lifestyle, I don't want to be dragged by my government into enabling their lifestyle.
All right. We got you. Thank you so much. I really, really appreciate the call. Thanks
Good
for checking
point, Cindy.
In.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate your call.
Yep, love the viewpoints. Al, you're on the mark. You're going to probably be our last caller of the day.
Okay, great. How you guys? Anyways, I want to say, you know, you got your own free will. God gave us that. And God will also help the addicts. I mean, you get them straightened out for 3 days after an overdose or the suicide attempt. A lot of times you have 72 hours. They allow that. If you can keep them there for 72 hours and say, do you want to live? In the beginning, you were trying to kill yourself. Now, do you want to live? Yeah, I want to live. I'm a mother. I got two children. Thank you.
I fell off the wagon 9 years ago, and now here we go again. I fell off the wagon. And the only way you can gather that strength is God gave us free will to go ask Jesus to help us get better. And it's her being a nurse, she's had to see miracles.
We're almost out of time, but let me ask you, free naloxone at health centers or not? You're pro-life. Remember, you're pro-life.
I say it's dangerous because they may just make a game out of it, too.
All right,
they
so
may
the abuse...
say, how much can I do, and now I got the naloxone.
So that's a qualified no.
Actions have consequences, my friend.
We're going to pick up this conversation tomorrow and finish this discussion. Plus, we'll have a lot more important topics. We haven't talked about President Trump's manhood yet, which we have an email about that. So we'll take that up.
Oh, okay. I can hardly wait for that discussion.
Joe McGranahan, and I'm His Majesty the Devil. This is WKOK Sunbury.